I'm pleased I'm pleased that we have our keynote speaker here from KDE, and Poe is going to talk about KDE and its development process. So please welcome him.
Well, good morning. I know it's not easy to wake up in a Sunday morning, especially to go to listen to this guy. So I really appreciate you coming here. So, back in March or something, Douglas told me about doing a presentation here. OpenSUSE is always an interesting project that has been orbiting me, as in the KDE me, for a long time. And well, I'm really pleased to be here and to have been here and talking and listening to you guys and while explaining my little piece of the story. So for those who don't know me, my name is Aleš. It can be expanded, but you can call me Aleš. I am in the KDV board for, I've been for 3 years now. Professionally, I'm working for Blue Systems, where I work full-time developing different KDE technologies. And well, usually I used to work mostly on KDevelop and KDE Edu applications. Then when I was hired to do Blue System stuff, I started doing more Plasma things, and I started maintaining Discover, which is our software center for those who don't know. And I come from Barcelona, which is a nice city by the Mediterranean, where we're running a meetup group called Barcelona Free Software, which is sponsored by OpenSUSE, and I thank you for that. It's really, really nice for us to have you as sponsors, and well, it's pretty cool. Also, if you are ever in Barcelona and want to listen to talk about Free Software, we might be having a presentation of these days. Just pop by and see what's what. You can always ask us, and worst case scenario, we can go for a beer. So, like I was saying, Douglas told me, let's talk about KDE. And one of the things that I've been doing through my whole involvement in KDE is thinking about the development process of somewhat. Sometimes with my KDevelop hat, right? Like, you're making an IDE. What do you give to the user so that they can develop things for, or develop KDE further, right? Like, KDevelop, by its vision, is not something that should be for KDE projects, right? But on the other hand, we understand that many KDE developers are using KDevelop as an IDE. So you might just as well want to have things integrated properly. On another hand, I've been a maintainer for different projects for several years, and I've been thinking about how to deliver good applications on different platforms. For example, one of my involvements, like I said, was KDE Edu. That means CalGebra for me, which is a tiny application, math application I worked on when I was a student back then. And actually, for the last 5 years, I haven't developed the application itself that much, but I've been porting it to Android. But actually, I started porting it to the Nokia N900, then the N9, with all of the changes that all of these meant. But in general, being able to have to keep in mind the use case of a person who is carrying a computer in his pocket is kind of interesting, I think. And on the other hand, with my involvement in Plasma, we've been thinking about, well, how do you get somebody like to spend his or her free time in working on something so sensible, like it can be working on a shell or, well, tools that are kind of part of the operating system, depending on what is your definition of an operating system, anyway. So, to get the question out of the way, how to get things done? Well, we basically have developers, which basically mean coders, designers, translators. We need to get together to work together and, well, do things. And when I say do things, I mean that, right? Because we have very different products. In KDE, we started being a desktop, but nowadays we have, we have a desktop, which now we call Plasma. But we also are doing different things, and we need to accommodate all of those because they are all very important, right? You need to be able to offer a solution for the people who want to use Linux and who want to be efficient when they have a Linux and a free software alternative when they work. But then to actually get things done, they will want to have applications, right? I mean, to be able to start applications is not everything you need to do with your system. You need to manage your files. You need to have text editors. You need to have many other things. And we're also developing these. And possibly one of the things that makes KDE special there is that we don't really think our applications as something that should be always used by Plasma desktops, but it's something that it will always integrate properly with Plasma, but it's not necessarily a requirement, right? Most of our applications will work on any Linux desktop environment, but they will also work on Windows or OS X or even Android, right? And we also create frameworks, which, normally they are byproducts of our applications and desktop environment, but they can also be something that people can, third parties can use and leverage, and we're really happy to know they're doing so. So we're working on all of these products, but how do we deliver them? Well, currently we're delivering tarballs, which is something a bit weird, but we've been doing it for the last 20 years, and it kind of works, right? But in general, it helps us. It helps us get things to the users because, we have some users, and actually, any KDE developer, if you ask him who is it doing his software for, is doing it for the users. So we like to think about them. But it's not an actual true thing that we have users. Actually, you have users that you're getting the KDE software to, you and others, right? And actually, one of the things that I would like to discuss in the, not today, but in general in the next months, is how we can solve a bit this kind of difference. It's looking a bit tiny, so you maybe don't get to see it very well. But the idea is that, you know very well that graph. We're delivering things to you, we're giving you tarballs, and you're getting these tarballs to the user. There's some kind of feedback that should get to the developer that we need to make sure that it gets there. I don't know if you think that the whole process is working properly. I think that there's possibly things we can do to improve it, but it's something that we can definitely discuss and make sure that we're actually doing the best thing possible. Because in general, one of the big things that have been important for free software has been its agility to reach back to the user and to integrate feedback. It's something that we need to make sure we keep tight. Beyond the whole how we get things done, I would also like to go through a bit the kind of things that we're thinking about when a developer sits in front of his computer, what kind of things he's thinking about. I will say a list of things, and I hope it makes sense to you. While we've been working on desktops for 20 years, we as in KDE, not me personally. I was very young when it all started. Not that young, but oh well. Everything is still changing. A bit like the keynote speaker from yesterday pointed out, it's not like everything is changing per se, right? It's like more like we're adding things to the pie more than we're getting, well, different use cases. But I think that, well, any developer, well, what he thinks about is not about how well he's doing with the things he has, but, well, what things he should be doing better. So, well, first thing, we were used to having a computer, a definition of a computer used to be something that has a mouse and a keyboard, right, and a screen. But actually, mouse and keyboard was something that was quite defining on the whole desktop experience. But, well, that's not true anymore. You will most often have these. And then sometimes you have touch, and not always. Like, you can have some systems that won't have a mouse, most definitely, and different kinds of keyboards. Sometimes keyboards that are actually on the screen, which is like a bit of a bridge between the two worlds. Well, it's something that somebody thinking about how people are going to be using a computer needs to think about. We're also not always even sitting when using a computer, which is also something that is quite interesting how, if you think about the big trends in the last 10 years of, first there was the phone, which was actually the whole opposite of the desktop computer, and then everything that has happened in between, since then has been quite an in-between, with the exception of watches, and actually watches, I don't think they have been all that successful. And in any case, nobody is really efficient in their watch, I would say, so it's maybe kind of out of our scope. But in general, there's a spectrum. There's not really like different kind of devices. And well, it's something we're thinking about, and it's most definitely somewhere free software should and could be doing a much better work. And similarly to input devices, screens have changed completely. We used to have more or less the same screen, a bit bigger, a bit smaller, but not even that much, right? But now we have different, very different form factors. We have these tiny, 3, 4, 5 inch screens, and we have setups with big screens, and actually many of them, and that's actually quite common. And many densities. If you've bought a computer in the last 2 years, maybe you decided against it, but most laptops today in the market will have different densities, which means that you need to make sure that all of the applications will integrate properly with your hardware. And well, it's something that we have worked on, and we could possibly be doing a better work, but I think it's quite there somewhat, to some extent. I'm sure many of you also have problems with this, so patches welcome. Another thing that has massively changed is the kind of processors even that people are using. We used to have x86 on all of the devices, and well, the smart people in the crowd will also tell me, and we still have x86 on all of our devices. But interestingly, like, we've seen that whatever used to be x86 is still kind of always x86, and then we've all gotten these kind of devices, all of us, and then all of these are not x86, but they're ARM, right? From a C++ C world, it's something that shouldn't matter at all, right? Like, you should just be using the right compiler. Problem should be solved. But in the end, I'm pretty sure this has been one of the things that have stopped us to actually properly flourish in these other platforms, right? We're used to spending our free time in actually compiling things locally that run on our computer, testing things. But doing the whole testing things on different devices is something that is a bit harder for all of us. There's many different alternatives that try to solve this issue, but in general, we're getting there. Actually, if you're interested, I was working on it on KDevelop for the last month, actually. I wrote a blog post about it. If you're interested, you can take a look. But in general, my message here is that everything was x86, and it still is x86, except for the fun hardware. Also, yesterday we had a presentation about how there's all of these boards that we could be using. And actually, us as KDE would be super happy to tell people, just take one of these cheap boards and just zipper install Plasma in it, and it will work perfectly. But I don't think we're really there yet in terms of supporting the hardware, especially much of the accelerated hardware is not working properly. And on a desktop that people are interacting very, very one-to-one, you want to have the best experience ever, right? And also another difference is that we used to have just the one system, right? In the, let's say, 2005, I used to have my email configured in my system, and that was everything I needed. I had all of my configurations there. It was fine. It was everything I needed. Today, having a system configured doesn't mean anything, right? You need to have all of your information accessible to all of the devices. It's something that we've been working on, for example, from KDE Connect. And I think that it's something that we haven't really completely solved yet. I mean, we've done improvements, but we aren't at the place where we can say, we're at leisure. And another big difference is that since we have different devices, and actually not all of the operating systems are available to all of our devices, we always end up having just different operating systems on every different device. So saying, I'm going to only work for Linux, I don't really think it's even that much of an option, right? I mean, it's that much of an option if you want to solve the problems for Linux. But if you want to solve the problems for your users, you need to think in a broader spectrum on, how will they be communicating when they're in the walk, or how will they be communicating when they're sitting at home? Because if we don't do that, it's going to be others doing these choices for us, namely, Google, Facebook, which are doing very good products there, and they're clearly competing with us, and we should be possibly doing a better job at that as well. And possibly another big change we're seeing in this whole Linux world is that we used to have all of the software coming from the distribution, which was our whole security model so far, and it looks like it's not going to be the same for the next years, right? So, we need to keep in mind that this is a situation that we're going to be in the next 1-2 years. And we need to be ready. We need to push the technology to be up to speed to make sure that we are delivering quality products like we've always done. And now, we run in circles, as in. I'm not going to actually run in circles, but what I want to transmit to you is this all fucked up. Everything is changing, and we have so much work to do, which we're doing, but, it takes time. So how are we doing it? How are we going to solve all of the problems I've been outlining here? Well, first of all, we have Qt. And we used to have Qt when we started 20 years ago. Most of the problems we have today, most of the problems I outlined there, it's problems that every Qt user has, even Qt as a product has it, right? Input devices, it's definitely something that they've cared about, different screens, different number of screens. It's all problems that need solving, and we're not alone on that, which is always a nice thing. We also have Kirigami. Kirigami is a framework we started working on for a couple of years ago, I would say, maybe 1.5. But the idea is that when you're writing an application, you don't really want to think. You want to be able to think about other form factors, right? And the frameworks we used to have up to the point where frameworks where you can technically run the applications on other operating systems, it just looks really horrible, right? So Kirigami offers us a possibility to design applications that will work on different form factors, and which is kind of what we are doing. We're, for example, Discover, the software center, I rewrote it last year to use Kirigami, and actually out of the box it worked on the Plasma phone, which is kind of cool. Another interesting thing about Kirigami is that if a developer comes to me and says I want to work on an application that is going to work on a phone, I don't have to tell him, well, choose between, well, working on Plasma desktop or Android, right? Because actually I would say it's kind of one of the big problems that the whole free software mobile community had, right? Like, all of them were really open, but if you wanted to get an application there, well, you really had to go through all of their set of requirements. Their own set of library they depend on, the whole set of APIs they use that were like coming from a higher level of existence, while they were, well, doing mostly things that we already have today. Like, part of the reason why you will possibly not see any KDE application on the Yola market, for example. Yola is based in Qt, right? But it's based on a Qt version they froze at some point in history. And, well, we cannot stop all of our development because they're in an old version. So together, Kirigami, different ways to distribute application can possibly agilize all of that. Wayland is also something that is coming. It's something that we've already feels a bit like a joke, right? Like, Wayland is going to solve it. Actually, I don't know if it's a thing here in OpenSUSE, but, well, in Plasma meetings, the Wayland is going to solve it. It's like, yeah, all right, you're shitting me. But we're going to have Wayland, like, now. Actually, 1 year ago, you could already test it with Plasma. Today, you can test it and even be happy while using it. Other desktops are doing it as well. I think GNOME defaults to Wayland nowadays, so that's pretty cool. Wayland is not important because it's the new cool technology. Wayland allows us to target a much more minimal set of dependencies that will allow us to run an operating system on a system, right? Like, the amount of drivers that are required to set up a device with X11 is actually quite huge. And, well, as soon as you start thinking about not desktop devices, you really want to start scratching things from the very beginning. And Wayland actually, like, delivers quite well there. It simplifies a lot the picture of how Linux desktop environment works, so that's pretty cool. And in the same line, we will have Halium really soon. I really like the project, that's why I put it here. Maybe it's not such a big deal, but, well, the idea with Halium is that most hardware vendors today are really caring about Android when they want to get a device into the market, right? And it's not like they even care about Android that much, right? They won't even give support on the device for that long. If we expect these people to create drivers specifically for the Linux old school kind of things, well, we're going to be disappointed. Actually, us as a community, we've been disappointed repeatedly. I mean, not even the Raspberry Pi, which is like the coolest, most free software hardware over there, isn't delivering a super polished solution in this front. So I think that there's definitely, well, room for improvement. And what Halium offers us is to say, okay, let's not bother asking all of these people for permission to use their hardware, which is what it ends up being. These asking for things, but just getting whatever they're delivering for Android and seeing if we can reuse it. And, well, there's been quite some success now. Also, Halium is a conglomerate of a couple of of communities that wanted to solve this problem and are solving this problem together, namely Plasma Mobile and a couple of the Ubuntu phone, well, forks, let's say. And, well, they're working together, they're doing things. And I think it would be pretty cool if somebody at SUSE popped up over there and said, hi guys, we're doing ARM things and we're awesome. Let's be awesome together. And then, well, changing a bit the subject, what we were talking about before when I was telling you all of the new requirements we're having, we're seeing appear for the last few years. Most of them it meant there's more complexity, right? Like there's a lot of complexity that we didn't used to have, and now it's not even part of the daily thing. It's something that is required for many of our users to have a successful experience when using their computers. So it needs to be up to speed, right? So we need to have a good continuous integration systems that test things on one side, having application run tests locally. That's something that we're actually like very actively pushing our developers to do, including myself. But it's something that I'm pretty sure you're also executing as packagers of our applications, which, well, if you're not doing, bad boys. And then there's OpenQA. I am with the SUSE people, so I have to mention it. It's really cool. Every time I see the project, I really want to use it more. And then I start wondering, why am I not using it more? I don't really have a good answer to that, though. If you have a good answer, you can tell me. I don't really know what's missing so that we integrate it properly in the whole development process in KDE. I know that you guys are testing KDE things with Plasma. But communication, like I said in the beginning, it's something that we need to sort out. Also, we need to make sure that it's actually part of the development process, right? Something that I can reproduce locally, something that I can reproduce, having an iterating process is something that is super important, at least for me. Also, OBS is one of these projects that in Academy for the last, Academy's our annual event, it's one of these technologies that keep popping up, and I'm not super sure why we're not using more. I think that we probably want to use it more. I'm not super sure why not. I could tell you my personal experience, but I don't know if that's super relevant here. But in any case, I think that we want more of it. We should have more of it. Let's see if we can find ways where it actually makes sense. Because in the end, it's mostly about getting the developers in the right space where they can actually start producing, right? I mean, the developer is this weird kind of asset that, I mean, he's either quite idle, because developers also like to drink beer, watch movies, but if they have all of the tools they need, they start producing things, and, well, the easier it is for them to actually get things out there and get the feedback, the more possible it is for them to say, okay, I'm not going to go for a beer with my friends, and I will stay home. By the way, that's an actual conversation I've had with many people, like, why aren't you doing more KDE things or these things you said you would do? I am going out with friends because I have an actual life. That's something that happens. I'm sure it's something that happens to you too as a, well, open source community, right? But, well, facts. Also, one of the big changes we've seen in the last few years is that Linux is a blooming runtime. And actually, I never looked at Linux as a runtime, right? But, I mean, clearly, having standard ways of executing things on Linux, it's something that the world wants. And actually, if the world wants something, the world gets something. It's not something that we can really argue about it. I mean, it kind of started by just running things on the servers, but then, well, Docker happened, and now Windows is integrating Linux executables. I mean, that's mind-blowing, isn't it? Who isn't mind blown by Windows running? See, everyone is. So it's impressive. And actually, I mean, we need to be part of this party, right? One of the things that have frustrated me the most in my whole Linux experience has been how, well, we've had the concept of repositories in Linux for decades, right? And in 2007, we already had them for decades, but we never had the strength to come together with a proper application store kind of concept. And actually, we are still struggling. Like, the solution for that has been the Upstream project, actually, and it is coming together now. Maybe, let's say, it was coming together a couple of years ago, right? But it was very frustrating for me to see how Apple came up with the whole App Store thing from one day to another. And we've been struggling massively without being, and we've been so slow at giving alternative to that, because the sad truth was that we were not end user oriented enough to be able to cater to that. Well, that was kind of a reason for me to start working on a software center. So maybe I am feeling a bit too passionate about this subject, or at least more than you guys. But in general, what I want to say here is that, much like app stores were a thing 10 years ago, the Linux runtime is a thing now. And, well, we are good at Linux, so we should make sure that we make the best out of it. I mean, I know there's some kind of, there's fears, but, well, there's risks everywhere in life, like waking up is a risk. But in general, trying to get up to speed and being able to, well, deliver to people executables is something that is going to happen. And, well, we want to be there. And in general, with a strict Plasma hat, I think that we want to execute any applications on Linux, right? I mean, we do have our own applications, but we never really claimed that the right thing to do was to use Qt or KDE applications on a KDE desktop. Obviously, there will be some things that we get to integrate much better on those systems. But I mean, that's more of a coincidence than an actual thing. I mean, while if you ask me how to develop an application properly for Plasma, I will naturally tell you just use Qt, use our frameworks, and you will be set for life because they're awesome. There's people doing awesome things in Linux, and I think that it's very important that we remember that we want to integrate these. And actually, Linux is not even about, well, old school applications anymore, right? Like, we have maybe a big percentage of our time, let's say 70-80%, depends a lot on you guys, is spent on the web browser. And actually, integrating the web browser is possibly one of the things that we should be doing much better. We actually have some kind of approach there, but it's work in progress. But in general, when we talk about supporting a better Linux runtime, we also need to remember that it's about running applications better, to make sure that systems are always up to date. And to have that, we need good UIs. We need to make sure that the user knows what he's installing and where it's coming from, because it's actually something that, well, it used to be part of the problem, but it could be now. And to give information about what the applications are doing and how they're interacting with the whole operating system, right? I mean, the fact that it's easy to install an application, it doesn't mean that it's safe or even a good idea, right? So we need to keep in mind that this is a part of the solution and, well, give it the love it needs. And like I was saying, we need to reach out to other operating systems. We cannot think that Linux is everything. I mean, even Linux is not a thing, right? Like, Android is Linux, but running a Linux application on Android is quite an impossible task, at least on a normal Android phone. So we need to be flexible. We need to learn that setting very strict barriers is not going to help anyone, I think. And, well, it's something we need to work on. And same, different operating systems, different form factors. While we need to think about how people will be using their computing experience, what it will be. And like he was saying, web as a first class citizen. So I don't know if you saw one of the developments that has happened in Plasma recently was the addition of something, well, a module that integrates Firefox and Chromium or Chrome with the Plasma shell, like, well, being able to know at least what tabs are open, and well, there's also some nice features like extracting MPRIS information from them. I think that this is something that was sorely missing, and if we can make good use of it, I think that we can embrace much better the users that could come on the next few years. Now, how do we improve? And this how do we improve, I mean, in a strict OpenSUSE to KDE kind of way, although it possibly applies to many other communities. Well, one of the big things is that we need you guys to speak up. So if there's a problem, if there's an issue, you should be saying so. It's not really useful to know that people aren't happy, but you don't really know why or what is exactly their pinpoints. Actually, like, nothing in KDE itself is closed, right? Like, any of you could go today and go to the Plasma mailing list, to the Plasma IRC channels, and, well, speak your mind. Especially if you're kind and smiley, it always helps. But actually, we encourage everyone to be part of the conversation. Even sprints, we host physical in-person sprints for our meetings. I think having you guys there would be something really interesting. And actually, I've always wondered why people from distros, it's not something that is really specific to OpenSUSE, but people from distros usually don't feel compelled to attend, right? I mean, I have the impression that if I was coming up with a product using something, I would want to talk to them and to be part of the discussion. And I think that it's something that, well, it's something that could change and possibly would change in the next few years. So what I did now was to go a bit through the bug report. It's a bit ugly, but it's not my fault. It's Bugzilla's bug fault. So I went through the bug reports of few KDE components, and I draw this nice pie chart. Here we can see the OpenSUSE RPMs is the orange thing at the bottom, right? So part of your voice is what developers will hear from the bug trackers, because, well, the discussion is not really happening in mailing lists, possibly because the conception of mailing lists is that you actually are discussing C++ clicky-clacky things, right? But, if the discussion is not happening in mailing lists, then it needs to happen in bug reports. So here we can see that maybe roughly, let's say, 15-20% of Plasma bug reports are OpenSUSE. Having a very big number here also is not very good. It just means that maybe there's lots of users reporting the same bug over and over. But, it shows there's a presence. It shows there's interest in getting things. Another project we can see here is Krita. Krita is a project that is very actively used outside of our normal comfort zone, let's say. Like, one of the big yellow thing is Microsoft Windows, which is something quite unique in KDE projects. Well, Microsoft Windows users are making themselves heard in this community. And this means that their issues will be part of the fixes that the next release is going to have. So, and by the way, OpenSUSE is the ugly blue thing at the bottom. Making sure that you're a big part of the pie is making sure that you're being heard. And well, like I said, I feel strongly about Discover, which is, well, my project, at least in Plasma. And here, OpenSUSE is not there. OpenSUSE is not there. It's possibly because it's part of the unspecified, which is the big red thing. But well, I looked it up. We had 11 bugs reported in Discover for, well, in the whole history, which is about 2 or 3 years, but still. And my complaint here is that this possibly means that OpenSUSE users are not really using Discover at all. And I haven't had a proper discussion with anyone about why it's not an acceptable solution. And actually, this makes me kind of, well, not fun. But in the end, when we talk about how you would like to communicate more, it's about first explaining why things don't work, when things are not working, making things reproducible. Like I was saying before, I've been working on a bit improving the development process so that if the users are going to be having a different set of requirements or uses of their application in the different operating systems, we should kind of embrace that. So I integrated it in KDevelop, which is our IDE. And if we have a bit of time, actually, we were going to have a bit of time. So if somebody wants, we can look into the video. But in general, well, you know there's a problem. Also, I don't really know, like, all of the distros, and I kind of think that you have the same thing, have their own backtracking systems, making sure that, bugs are transferred upstream, and making sure that, well, developers know everything that is going on there. It's something important. And while you can say, well, everything is open and you can be going through all OpenSUSE bug reports, well, remember that we have maybe 15 downstreams. And while they're not all as big and awesome as OpenSUSE, well, they all want to be there, right? And well, we need to have this kind of feedback, and we need to have these kind of, well, things going on. And well, that was my talk. If you have any questions, you can have it now. Otherwise, I'll show you my video.
Good morning. Just wanted to know, do you spend most of your resources on the actual desktop environment, or are there certain projects, certain applications that get more attention than others? I know you, for example, you work on this Discover project. One of my favorite KDE apps is Digicam, but mm-hmm. It seems like it doesn't get a lot of work on it. So how does that work?
Well, in KDE, we don't set resources. Actually, as a free software community, we don't have the ability to tell people what to work on. We do have sprints. We've had several Digicam sprints, for example, which is a space where we can actually like help people get things done in a very specific area. But in general, we don't tell people to work on things. We can, well, set some kind of expectations, but that's as far as we get to go. Obviously, like, for example, you mentioned Discover. I'm working in Discover in my paid time. So one thing you could do is to convince my boss that Digicam is the best thing ever, and also the worst thing ever, which means that it needs improvement, right? Because, well, when things are quite good, usually it's hard to get developers on them, which is kind of interesting, right? At least you need to have people like pulling the cart. But in general, the big and direct answer is we don't get to make people work on things. We can try, but we don't get to do that. What we can do is set some resources for it, and we actually do. And you're encouraged that to help. And actually, a bit of, you can always help on a free software project. I mean, I would say a KDE project, but like any free software project. And don't even think I am not doing that because I am not a developer. This is not really part of the conversation. You can always help doing documentation, which is super fun. You can always help doing drawings. You can whatever you're good at doing, I'm sure that there's, any project can make sure that this is useful, unless it's crochet. I don't know if that would be a thing. But like PR, it's always needed. Actually, PR is one of the big problems in free software, right? We need people who actually are capable of pushing projects without being the actual people doing the features, which incidentally, people doing the features are not very good at communicating usually. But yeah, hope I answered your question.
Okay, I've got a question particularly about LTS versions. So we have an LTS version of Plasma in Leap. And you know, looking at our bug tracker, you know, it's the largest single component that has issues, you know, reported bugs. It's higher than even our catch-all other bin. Obviously, your graph kind of shows that too, in the sense of, you know, our OpenSUSE bugs are a huge chunk of that pie. So the kind of the two questions are, what is really being done to maintain those LTSs? Because they don't seem like they're getting much love or attention once that initial release. I get the feeling they've just been thrown over the wall. And what is the plan for future LTSs? You know, when's the next one, and how will that be better than the current one?
Yeah, good questions. So a bit kind of like the last answer, we've been sending patches. I sent a patch to the Plasma 5.8 branch last month for Discover, right? I mean, things are happening. It's not something you coordinate though, right? Like we don't have a person responsible for LTS. Maybe it's something that could be useful. It's not a figure we have at the moment. But in general, if something a developer believes that if they put time on will make a big impact on the user base, I'm sure he is gonna do. So if you tell me as Discover maintainer, we have this big problem with Discover 5.8 and we need to have it solved, I will spend time on it, right? But we need to know that this is an actual big problem. To give some perspective, we had a huge issue with the latest Kubuntu LTS, which actually was not even using our LTS. And we also had to spend some time on that. So it's not really a matter of... What is really important about us for an LTS is actually that we have the certainty that if we work on it, it will go to the user, because there's nothing more worse for a developer that to be working on a fix that might not be hitting the users. And actually, that was the kind of reasoning behind of doing an LTS. I mean, people are actually going to be releasing this Plasma 5.8 for a long time, so we can just as well keep it awake. And if there's things to have improved, well, do it. Now, if there are big problems, well, talk to the people. I mean, I have never heard.
But we have. You look at the pie charts. You know, we've been finding those bugs upstream as well, and they're not going down.
Well, escalate it. I mean, it's always a matter of how to make yourself heard, right? I mean, if you look at any project's bug report system, you will see a list of crazy problems. That doesn't mean that you can take an action on all of them. I'm not saying that they are crazy problems, but for a developer, it's a lot of time that you need to spend to reproduce an issue on often different platform, make sure that you can reproduce it, fix it, and then submit it. So having some kind of handholding, especially from the platform, to say, okay, I can reproduce this, give me a fix, I send you a patch. I think that this kind of conversation can be much more agile than just saying, well, it's reported there. I mean, be happy, because, well, I mean, you need to know what the actual pain points are, because it's a matter of, I have these resources, how do I allocate them so I can make my users the happier, right? But, well, it's a wider subject, so it's possibly, yeah. In general, though, it's worth mentioning, I think, that the reason we did Plasma LTS, 5.8 LTS, was because OpenSUSE said we're going to be having a long-term release of our leap, and we want to be supporting what you're offering fresh, which I believe it's a very good idea, right? Like, if we're having a lot of this of the discussions about how we want to distribute software better, it's because users are not using actual fresh supported versions of software, right? Like, this is one of the problems of Linux today. And being able to offer a solution was very good for us. And actually, like, for us, it's very frustrating because the only distro that peaked as LTS, Plasma 5.8 LTS, was OpenSUSE, right? Which is kind of not fun. But, well, it's not something we really have a say on. But in general, we do want to have another LTS. I suggest that somebody who is confident with OpenSUSE's release schedules gets in touch with the Plasma team, and we've discussed about having another one. We should definitely make sure that it aligns properly with you guys, because I think it's worked well. And actually, like, not doing so will mean we will have an LTS release that will not have a distro behind. So, well, knowing what the problems are is going to be much harder, or at least harder than it is today. And like you pointed, well, there's things to be fixed, right? But you need to have people telling you, well, this is a problem, remember. Which is, I guess, not a nice work for you guys, because nobody really likes to be the kind of, well, person going, fix my thing. But, life, such is life. But in general, if you want to talk further about it, we can even here or by email back home. I think it's an interesting subject, and doing a better job there would be really fun. Yeah. Did I answer everything you asked?
So you mentioned KDE community is beginning to look at OpenQA. Was somewhere about slide 13, I think. So given that in the past KDE has been criticized because in the tarballs and in the SUSE RPM source packages, there were never really many test scripts in there. I've noticed in the latest SUSE source RPMs, KDE source RPMs, there are OpenQA scripts in there, which means you're beginning to test openly. It's an indication you're beginning to test openly. Given the thought that there aren't many human beings like Zaphod Beeblebrox with two heads, and unfortunately a developer and a tester tend to be two different people, my question is, what is the acceptance inside the KDE community, not maybe the broader KDE community, not only the developers, but maybe you have some testers as well. What is the acceptance, perceived acceptance, current perceived acceptance of OpenQA?
So I think that we're probably looking at the whole thing the wrong way. So early on, when I defined developers, made the question, because I lost you and I don't know where to look now. Thank you. I defined developers as people who make software, right? So I wouldn't say there's first developers and then testers. Actually, what I would diagnose as a problem is the fact that while it's possibly part of the source RPMs you have, it's not really part of our Git repositories, right? So it's not really part of our Franca-lingua, if you know what I mean. We need to make sure that these things are part of the development process, that the developers can have access to these things, and having access means it's in my Git repo, and this test is not passing, so I don't get the green light. I mean, it is not about reaching out to this other community, or because like adding communication barriers seldomly gets its thing solved. So I would say that if we want to do it properly, it needs to be part of the development process and the development tools that we use on a daily basis. And it cannot be part of the source RPMs, because like I said before, like there's 20-something packages that appear out of any of our releases, right? And we cannot be responsible for everything that all of these distros do. In fact, one of the problems we're having is that distros patch random things on our software, right? Which, I mean, sometimes it's done by somebody thoughtful, sometimes it's done because it didn't work and somebody was angry, right? So I think that if we want to have this kind of feedback loop working properly, we need to have the same communication space. And to be the same in the same communication space, it means to be in the same Git repositories, to be in the same, well, chat rooms. And if we can do that, I am sure that we're going to see good results, because when things start working well is when you see that the people who take care of creating the software are actually committing not to break things. And if they know when they change something that something breaks, it's interesting back and forth. Oh, yeah, Seth, sorry.
So both GNOME and KDE have something like an App Store program. And the term App Store also fell in your talk somewhere. So I was wondering, isn't it perhaps time to consider Linux distributions an App Store in their very own right, especially considering that KDE and other applications connected to that are like delivered within a day or so already? Do we really need KDE App Stores or GNOME App Stores for that matter?
I don't know. I mean, with a very KDE kind of perspective, we had KDE Look, KDE Apps, KDE Look and KDE Apps for 15 years. They were there for a very long time. And I have never seen them as a competitor to whatever my distro was doing, right? I mean, if you want to get backgrounds, you want to get icon themes, it can just as well come from our website. I kind of agree, like, that distros are like an app store. That was like what I meant when I was angry that Apple did it was that, well, we had all of the information and we had all of the applications for a very long time. We just were not careful enough to put them into a nice, digestible user interface that people would be using. So now I guess you're talking about application stores, and I think that distros are doing a good job, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But the same way we have 25 distros today, and when I say 25, I mean probably more than 100, I know that people are going to be delivering applications in systems that, well, are just compatible with actually what the distributions are distributing today. So I think that what is really important here is not how KDE sees application distributors. I mean, I can give you an answer from a very Discover maintainer point of view, but that's not really useful. I think that the useful conversation we can be having now is what is a Linux operating system today, and what are the things that we share among each other so that we can create solid products together without being fighting about the most menial things over and over. One of the big differences that I see with the new cross-distro formats that we didn't have on the pre-cross-distro formats times is that it's not really a discussion about whether DEB or RPM is better. You can have them all, and actually you will have them all. Like, most of you in 5 years will have snaps on your computer, you will possibly have flatpaks in your computer, and you will have distro applications on your computer. And possibly there will be distros that are not distributing their software on applications. So I think that we need to just acknowledge that things are changing and see how we can work best together, and to actually make sure that we're actually working together truly. Like, we're not adding invisible barriers or social barriers, but actually making a Linux that can work on any people's computers and actually can solve everyone's needs, but is not this tool that is really fun to use when you're a sysadmin and you're watching movies at home. Okay, so if there's no much more questions, I think actually there's no more time. Is there? Possibly not. Well, thank you very much for listening to me. And if you want anything, you can send me an email. I'll be happy to answer you there as well.